All right, Matthew Collar in for Dave Schwartz. If you're not familiar with my work, other than fill-ins or maybe the occasional appearance here on Henry Lake or Chad Hartman Show, purpleinsider.football is where you can find my stuff. And right around the corner, I'll be headed to the NFL Combine, covering the Vikings out there. I was in Arizona when they no-showed in the playoffs. So I have some Vikings questions for you, Pete Najarian. let's begin with the biggest news of the week, that Kevin O'Connell signs a contract extension. I think this was about the least surprising news in the world after winning 14 games and 13 2 years ago. But my question for you, Pete, is when a coach gets his second deal, then I think the bar gets raised for expectations. So what do you think the expectation for Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings should be in his second phase of his tenure?
Well, I think that, to be honest with you, if I'm the owners and we're putting the kind of money we are into the head coach at $12 million a year, not so bad, right? 5 years, $60 million seems like a pretty good number. I think you expect a lot. I think you expect to win in the playoffs and at least, at the very least, get to the NFC Championship game, just like the Eagles and Commanders are going to be playing. But I don't think anything short of that really makes it any better. And then you're going to have to make a decision on what you're going to do. But he's got 5 years. We have JJ as a possibility at quarterback. Whether or not we do something with Darnold, which I guess is a great question for you, because Dave and I always talk about this ever since we got into the playoffs and then got bounced out. What do we do with Sam Darnold? Because we've got all of this money. We've got the salary cap. We're $63 million under. Is that right? I think something close to that.
Somewhere in that ballpark. Yep.
Somewhere in that ballpark. And meanwhile, we've got free agents out the wazoo. And I'm not going to go through them now. We can, but I mean, we've got so many free agents that we need to sign. It's scary. Many of which are on the defensive side of the ball. So it makes you sort of wonder, what kind of a team are we going to build? Are we going to give Sam Darnold real money, or are we going to allow him to leave after having an unbelievable year and everybody's just hanging on this whole thing that happened basically both in Detroit and with L.A., but Detroit was a final game, not a playoff game. But nonetheless, we had a little bit of pressure. I looked at that, by the way, Matthew. I liked Sam all year. I was a guy who didn't believe, and then I did. But I think that the reality is, do you have to pay him? I kind of think you got to franchise him or something. I don't know that you want to. It's now or never, because you've got JJ on that rookie contract, and that's what opens things up. I don't know. What do you think about that? Because that's really what's going to change the whole landscape for Kevin O'Connell, I think, over the next 3 to 5 years.
So what it really rests on for me, Pete, is how Kevin O'Connell views JJ McCarthy's progress with the fact that he did not play this entire season. And then not only did he not play, but he has to get back in shape fairly quickly. I mean, that the offseason, it goes fast. It starts for these guys in OTAs and offseason workouts and mini camps. And I know J.J. McCarthy is young, and plenty of guys have recovered from injuries quickly. So I think he'll be fine physically, but is he ready to play 17 games with a veteran football team that just won 14 in an offense that Kevin O'Connell probably overcomplicates for himself sometimes? But we know, I mean, Kirk Cousins said that the offense was complex and difficult. And even with Sam Darnold, it didn't seem that he got especially comfortable with it for, a few weeks into the season. So you're asking someone who hasn't played any football, who was thought of as a raw prospect when he was drafted, who's only thrown 700 passes since he was in high school, whereas Jaden Daniels has thrown 2,000, right? So I think that if Kevin O'Connell believes that they want to be more patient with McCarthy and you only get 3 years of his rookie deal instead of four, well, that's fine. I mean, that's plenty of time to stack a roster and take shots to try to win the Super Bowl. But if he thinks he's ready to go, then there's no reason to keep going down this path. Yeah. And as far as the salary cap goes, for 1 year, you can make enough adjustments to contracts to make it work if they needed Darnold to come back. But I also think that Sam is in a tough spot here, Pete, because why would you sign a multi-year deal? That's the best thing for the Vikings, if he would sign a short-term deal and then they could move on from him after a year. But why would you do that if you're Sam, when you know that they have a guy that they really want to be the franchise quarterback behind you? I think the only thing he would agree to, and I could be wrong, is just, I mean, the franchise tag, he has no choice. And one more thing to add to it, I kind of hope that they're ready to go with McCarthy, because you know if Darnold comes back and he has two bad games, he's going to get booed off the field. Everybody wants McCarthy to play. They want to see the young guy. So I think that's got a lot of layers to it, but it really comes down to the head coach is in charge of his McCarthy's development. So does he feel like he's really ready to go or not? And then they'll adjust accordingly.
Yeah, it should be pretty interesting, I think, to see how that all plays out, because the reality is, and this is one of the things that I looked past as I was analyzing, what does it look like for Darnold, you know, with the Minnesota Vikings? And I'm going back to August when I was thinking about this, and I was worried because USC quarterbacks, in my mind, have never, ever made it in the NFL for the most part. So that was playing against him. Obviously, the track record that he had put, you know, out there for us all was not good, from the Jets to Carolina. Was it San Francisco briefly? And then he comes to us. And, you know, you just kind of wonder, you scratch your head. But what I looked past, and this is my fault, was we've got three great receivers. We've got some very good tight ends, not just one, but multiple tight ends that are very good. And the offensive line started off good, but then obviously you lose your left tackle. That's a big deal. And we had a revolving door over there, by the way. So I still look at it this way, too. Sam, I thought, played amazingly well. And even in the Detroit game, when he was throwing the ball, and it looked terrible, and we all know that, but he got more pressure than anybody wants to give credit about this. That offensive line was a sieve. They were going through them. They were literally just in his face all day. Everybody says, well, he's holding the ball too long against L.A. I don't know that I saw it that way. I saw it as a guy who gets back there, gets on his back foot, you know, on a 3 or a 5 or a 7 step drop, whatever it is that he's doing, and he gets back on his back foot. He's already got to move. He's already got to move. He's not holding the ball. He's running around back there, and everybody's like, well, you know, he had all the time in the world to throw it. Why didn't he? Well, because he had a guy who's 6'6 and 270 pounds from Florida State that went the first round, who's right in his face. I mean, that you have to, you know, I don't want to be overly critical on Sam, because I don't think that was Sam. That was the offensive line. That's what really, I think, lost the game for us.
And that was really, to me, the worst matchup that they could face, because the Rams did have such an incredible defensive line that also sacked Jalen Hurts 5 times the next week. So, and, you know, it was really, I don't know, kind of strange with the Vikings offensive line, because I thought that after they traded for Cam Robinson, they survived and actually had some good games. But then you go up against maybe the best front four in the league and you just get run out of the building. But with Darnold, I think that if you're going to play the style that KOC wants to play, which is to throw the ball down the field, he wants to throw it 70% of the time, and he wants to throw it 70% of the time down past 10 yards. When I went back and watched the game on film, Pete, I didn't see a lot of quick options for Darnold on those plays where he was getting sacked. And that's not to say it's not his fault, but if you're going to do it, you have to build the offensive line a certain way, which really comes to, I think, free agency, Pete, is where they need to invest a lot of dollars there, because drafting means more development. It's a very hard position in the league to just draft somebody and hope that that guard's going to change your line. I think that's where they need to spend a lot of their free agent dollars, no matter who's playing quarterback, because it's just the system that they're trying to play requires them to block a little bit longer than you would for these quick pass teams.
By the way, the other thing that really bothered me, too, was as good as our receivers are, and I thought as a threesome, Naylor and Addison and Jefferson, as good as they are, they couldn't get free against Detroit, and they couldn't get free against L.A., and nobody wants to talk about that. They're like, well, you know, it's all on Sam. I say this as a guy who didn't think as much as Sam early on. So, you know, I'm backtracking to say, you know what, Sam actually did play pretty well, but when your offensive line is literally just a bunch of revolving doors and the three guys can't get open anywhere. I mean, there were times where literally JJ was completely stumped. He was covered like a blanket. And I just, you know, I'm watching going, wow, these guys are really playing well. And Detroit did a great job against them as well. Were they using their hands a lot? Sure they were. That's what you do in the playoffs because you try not to throw too many flags in the playoffs. That's mm-hmm. just the general rule. So why wouldn't they grab, which is what our DBs should be doing as well, right?
Well, I thought it was really telling when Washington played Detroit that the Detroit still blitzed a ton, but Washington mm-hmm. had, I think it was 10 completions behind the line of scrimmage. They just had a counterpunch. And then I think yeah. when we talk about, to tie this into O'Connell and his second phase of his time with the Vikings as head coach, I think that there has to be when the deep pass game isn't working, when the opposing team is getting pressure, or even when your quarterback looks shook like he did mm-hmm. against Detroit, there's got to be that answer. And you bring up the run game all the time. And Pete, I'm going to tell you the truth. You sound old, but I also think you're right. So when you say, oh, they got to run the ball, it's like, you know, it's right. It's right because they didn't have that answer. And that was how the Eagles beat the Rams, was they had the answer of being able to lean on the run game. So I think that solidifying that line, being able to convert a third and two by just handing off, they just couldn't mm-hmm. do that this year. And I feel like the weaknesses really came to fruition in that last game.
By the way, last thing, just to jump right on that one more time, and you say I'm an old man and I'm talking about running game. So here's what I'll tell you. Right now in the playoffs, right, you know who Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, James Cook, Kyren Williams. I mean, let's be honest. These guys are all great running backs,
yep.
and they're on teams that have extended into the playoffs. So it's, you know, I think you have to understand that the running game matters, and it's, you take advantage of a situation when linebackers are now small,
yep.
and some of these running backs are pretty big. I mean, Derek, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to get out there and have to go up against Baltimore and try to figure out yeah. how I'm going to go after Derek Henry at 255 pounds and maybe 2% body fat, maybe something like that.
Very similar to me in that way.
Yeah,
so,
I was thinking that.
you requested a mock draft for the
yeah.
show today. So when we return, we will look at who Mel Kiper has the Vikings drafting. And I want to tie this in to your running back take. Usually you're not supposed to draft running backs, but is it crazy? We'll talk about that when we return. Matthew Collar in for Dave Schwartz and Pete Najarian. Don't fear the Chiefs. That's what they're saying in Buffalo today. AFC and NFC championships. Pete Najarian and I are pumped. Pete, you texted me the other night and you said, look, it's draft season. The minute that this season ends, you're a big college football guy. You love the draft. So mm-hmm. I've got Mel Kiper's projection for the Vikings and at the top of the draft. And I will just tell you that Mel Kiper, with the 24th pick for the Vikings, has them taking Benjamin Morrison, a cornerback from Notre Dame. The Vikings have lots of free agent corners, as you alluded to in our mm-hmm. last segment, that they have to rebuild that part of the team. And that's fine. I certainly have no criticism for them drafting a corner. Personally, defensive tackle is a favorite. You could throw guard out there if there's one that's worth taking in the first round. But how about this, Pete? If they picked a running back, there's two of them that could be first-round picks, Ashton Jeanty from Boise State and Omarion mm-hmm. Hampton from North Carolina. Would mm-hmm. you think that that was reaching for them, or would you think that that was a good decision?
I think it'd be a great decision. I honestly am a big believer in it, and I think if you go and you look around the NFL and you see who makes the playoffs, who's very close to being either a playoff team that maybe just barely missed out or whatever, they've got running games, right? So I think that it's been something that's been way overdone by the NFL, by the general managers, the fact that they go with all these receivers. Like, I'll give you this example. The number one receiver in the entire NFL is obviously our guy, JJ, right? I think everybody agrees on that. How different is JJ from the 25th receiver in the NFL? And I mean that sincerely. And I love JJ, but are they that different? I think if you look at the number one running back or the top five running backs and you look at what they are able to do, what teams they're on, and why are they so special, it's because the game has changed and it's moved back to the point where you've got running backs with a little bit of size, and if they've got that size and, of course, the speed, they can flourish in the NFL because all these linebackers are 220 pounds. They're small. So I look at that Omarion Hampton. Now, the Gophers played against them, North Carolina, mm-hmm. early in the year.
Yep.
The kid's a beast. He's got a great bod. I mean, he's 6 foot, 220 pounds, solid as a rock, and could be great. You might even be able to leverage yourself down a little bit if none of the backs are going really high like they usually don't, and maybe even get like Caleb Johnson from Iowa. I think the world of that kid,
yeah.
too. I think
yep.
he's unbelievable and had a great year. If it wasn't for Ashton Gentry, we'd all be talking about him. He's a really special guy, and it's in the Big Ten. It's not just coming from some small conference that most people don't pay attention to. This is Big Ten defenses, and he had an unbelievable career, and now he's coming out 6 foot, 225 pounds. I think any of those three would be a great pick, and you might even be able to get them a little bit later if they're sort of stacked up. You could probably push yourself down and maybe work on some more drafts that you'd like to get, because the Vikings draft does not look very exciting this year. We've got the 24th pick, and then what, right? I mean, that's kind of where we are right now.
Right, and if they were to maybe tag and trade Darnold, they could add to that. But, you know, and they're going to get a comp pick, so that makes four draft picks that they have from three at the moment. So I'm a little conflicted along the lines of the drafting a running back thing. I would make a different point about Justin Jefferson, which is that opposing teams put so much attention on Jefferson that mm-hmm. they're playing deep safeties and they're rolling their coverages, and that should make your run game pretty darn effective. I think that the difference between someone like Saquon Barkley in Philly and in New York is, well, one, they can pass the football also. They have an offensive mm-hmm. line. You need these things around the running back to maximize all their talents. That's always been true. But I think that when you have a great wide receiver who draws so much attention and a downfield passing game, that it's wide open for you to run the football. We've seen the Chiefs take advantage of this. The Bills definitely take advantage of this mm-hmm. with James Cook. Everyone is terrified of Allen throwing the ball, and they're able to run it. And we see the Ravens, too. The better they threw the ball with Lamar, the better they can run it. And when you have a real talent back there in his mm-hmm. prime, it is super scary for opposing offenses. The thing about drafting one in the first round is I think you make a great point about Caleb Johnson from Iowa, which is the third round running back might not be different in talent by a ton from the two first round running backs. That's where mm-hmm. I might look to defensive tackles are really hard to find that are beasts and who can rush the passer, and they have not really had one of those guys in many years. I would want to lean a little bit toward things that are harder to find early in the mm-hmm. draft, and that's part of it with running backs, is that they usually have been available in the second and third rounds.
Yeah, they have. There's no doubt about it. I think that's going to change, and I think people, general managers, probably were paying attention this year to the running backs and the running game itself and how, you know, the teams that are playoff teams generally have a pretty good running game. You know, and I say that loving Aaron Jones, but he's getting older.
Yep.
And if you thought that Cook was old, well, now, this guy's about the same age as Cook was.
Right.
So I think you've got to move on and try to find something else. And I don't know if you're going to get it in free agency. Maybe there's a possibility of somebody good. I love the idea of finding a running back. And I think that any of those three running backs that we were talking about make a lot of sense, especially when you look at Hampton and Johnson, just because they're bigger. I like to see these bigger running backs because, and I say it all the time, the linebackers are small. Some of these nose guards, some of these defensive linemen, some of the interior guys on many of the teams are a little bit smaller. And it's crazy to call a 300-pound guy small, but these days, 300-pound guys are small.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
if you've got a defensive line with the 340-pound guys that are right in front of the center, That's a different game because, you know, now your offensive line's got to really do a lot more work. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of teams that have the 285 to 300-pound, you know, guys in the middle. That's where those running backs can flourish too because they can get right past those guys pretty rapidly, especially just a chip block from the guard or the center, and you're off to the races. So I don't know. I just look at it as the huge benefit that we haven't taken advantage of yet, I don't think, is – having that running back that makes it a second and five, because second and five is a great down for offenses. And that
right.
would play in really, really well for somebody like JJ then.
Well, Well, and it felt like they ran a lot on first down. It didn't feel like. I looked up the stats. They ran a lot on first down. They did not run a lot on second down, which means that you were not often in those short yardage situations, or O'Connell almost always wanted to throw it down the field in that spot, maybe because he didn't trust his team to get short yardage, which they did not, and was one of my biggest frustrations of the year. So before we take a quick break and then get back to Championship Sunday, and I want to know your take of when the Vikings will be Championship Sunday again. The top of the draft projected by Mel Kiper has the Titans taking quarterback Cam Ward, and then Travis Hunter, the wide receiver slash corner, going to the Browns. For his sake, I hope he does. That organization. Shedeur Sanders going third to the Giants. Abdul Carter, who is a freak, to the Patriots. And then Mason Graham, who I would do anything to get on the Vikings at the number five spot. He's a defensive tackle from Michigan. Give me a hot take on the top of that draft, Pete.
Yeah, you know, there's so many mock drafts already. That just shows you the power of football, the power of the NFL. And I'm looking at a different mock draft where actually Tennessee's taking Abdul Carter. Yeah. Abdul Carter is a special kid. I mean, he is the closest thing to Micah that I've seen. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, and he gets after quarterbacks, and he's a disruptor, right? Yeah. I mean, so he's an amazing player. I think Shedeur Sanders is a very talented athlete. I don't like his there's certain things about his personality that I'm not a big fan of. He's not a big team guy from what I see. A guy who gets $4 million in NIL money and drives around in a Rolls Royce and you know, I think you got to share the wealth. I just that's just my opinion about, you know, the personality side of things. But I think that Mel's pretty spot on some of the picks. I'm still not a big believer in taking these quarterbacks if you don't have the rest of the pieces of the puzzle yet. And I look at the Giants, I look at all of them, Tennessee, whoever. If you're going to go for a quarterback and try to go that way, I think you're better off going in free agency. And that's why Sam Darnold, I think that everybody says, well, Sam's lost a lot of money because he played so poorly in the last two. Sam is going to be the number one free agent quarterback this year. He's going to get money. And it's not even close. So there's no, you know, pity parties for Sam. He'll do just fine. He's going to get a lot of money, I think. And whether it's the Vikings or he goes elsewhere, he's going to get paid. So that year has been great. But as far as the draft, it gets more and more interesting all the time. And things are going to change, as you know, because as soon as we leave from the combine, we're going to change everything about everything because some guy ran a 4.240 instead of a 4.4.
That is for sure. I need, when we come back, Pete Najarian to look into his crystal ball and tell me when he sees the Vikings playing on Championship Sunday, what they need to do to get there. Matthew Collar in for Dave Schwartz, along with Najarian. We'll be right back. Pete Najarian, here he goes. Football time, football. It's a great day for football talk, Mr. Najarian. And my question for you, and I can already hear everybody's answer. I already know everybody listen. I already know what you're saying. Because I'm going to ask you, Pete, about the path to NFC Championship Sunday as we are sitting here today with Washington and Philly. And what everybody just thought in their minds was, Vikings, even if they got there, they'd miss a field goal. I know everybody. The Vikings have missed some field goals and they've lost and stuff. But hope springs eternal, Mr. Najarian. So give me the path. How can they get themselves to be playing this weekend?
You know what? If and it's not the biggest if in the world, but if JJ can turn out to be the JJ that we moved up and got as a 10th pick in the draft, that's a huge piece. I think it really does come down oftentimes to the quarterback, right? I mean, it's why they get the big money. It's why they get the big bucks. And it's why they get drafted so high. But we still need a lot of things. I mean, you know, it's amazing to look at what we – and I know other teams have similar issues, but I'm looking at it right now, Matthew, and I'm looking at the free agents, you know, our when you look at the offensive side of the ball, well, our left tackle, Sam Darnold, tight end in Mullins, Daniel Jones, who's really just sort of here anyway, but Rippon, you know, You look at Cam Robinson, Reisner, Munt, all these guys. It just makes you sort of sit back and go, wow, we've got a lot to fix on the offensive side. And on the defensive side, we've got a lot of free agents as well. So how much room and how do we do that? So I think that you're kind of leaning, and I can feel it at least, that the Sam Darnold is gone and J.J.'s going to take over. And I don't necessarily disagree with you. I kind of like the idea of bringing Sam back, but on a franchise, but it is a lot of money. I get it. So how do you disperse the money to be able to get us to the next level? Well, J.J. is the man in waiting, one way or the other, whether it's this year or next year. He will be on the field, and all I can say is everything I've ever seen about this kid is he's a winner. Everything he does, he's been unbelievable, and he's got a great talent, good arm, good release, all those things. And I saw him at camp. You were there a lot more than me, but I was there for a couple of the days of camp this past year and watched him throw in the football, and it looks different. He does look like he's got all the elements that you want. So I'm really excited about that. We need an offensive line. We are. I think that's the one thing that hopefully they really do address, whether it's in free agency. By the way, this is a team that's had a really, really bad track record for drafting, in my opinion. Because if you think about it, back in 2022, we got Lewis Cine, we got Andrew Booth, and we got Ed Ingram. Now, Ingram's worked out. Booth's been gone, and Cine has never made onto the field hardly, right? And it's awful injury. I get it. But that's our draft. Jordan Addison was good in 23. That was the only guy really in 23 that makes any kind of a difference. And then we get McCarthy and Dallas Turner. I love Dallas Turner. I think we didn't use him nearly enough this year. That would be one of my pushbacks, I think, for Beflow is this guy needs to be on the field. He's a player, and he's a guy who gets after quarterbacks. He reminds me so much of his predecessor, Anderson, who's down there in Houston right now, who's an absolute world beater. So I don't think we do a great job drafting. Matter of fact, I think we do a pretty poor job drafting, but we do pretty well in free agency. So if we can go around and find a couple of offensive linemen, you know, if we can afford to do it, but a couple of offensive linemen to protect our quarterback, I think that's going to be a huge key. So when will it happen? I think it'll take us a couple of years to get there again or to get into the playoffs to get all the way up to the championship game. So I'd say 2 years, 3 years. That's not that bad, by the way.
No, I mean, one thing that I would like people to remember is that they were projected to win 6 or 7 games this year, and they won 14.
Not bad.
When they have the way that it ended, and I think about this all the time, like alternative universes. Like, imagine they lost the Seattle game, and they just didn't have to play for anything week 18, rested all their starters, and then played Los Angeles. I think they probably do a little bit better, but even if they had lost after that, it would have felt so much different than the way it felt losing essentially 2 playoff games in a row. The end was so miserable that it's very easy to forget kind of what you proved as a franchise. I mean, what Kevin O'Connell proved, but also what the front office proved in terms of its roster building. The drafting issue goes way back before Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. I mean, they missed on tons of defensive players that they took over the years. So that means you have to go into free agency and get Van Ginkel and get Cashman. And it also should be remembered that Ivan Pace Jr., who's a key linebacker, was an undrafted free agent. Like, we don't count that as the draft, but it's the draft. One pick was spent on TJ Hawkinson. So I think that they have really good bones here to work with. And it's around kind of the margins, as you mentioned. I mean, the offensive line, there's no question about it that they've piecemealed the interior of the line together for now, I think, 12 straight years. And I mean, they have invested picks. I mean, that's why I think free agency is the way to go there. Bradbury was a first rounder. Ingram was a second rounder. And I also think, Pete, though, that how good defensive lines are, I don't think that there is just, if you get the line, you're good. It's going to have to be the growth from the head coach, too, because McVay got punched in the face in the playoffs early in his career, and I think O'Connell has to learn from what happened against the Rams.
Yeah, I totally agree. The difficulty that I see, though, is just this laundry list of defensive players that are free agents. And what are we going to do about it, right? We got, you know, all our 3 corners are part of it. 3 defensive interior defensive linemen are part of it. Patrick Jones, who I love, I think he does an unbelievable job. as an edge rusher. We might lose all these guys for all we know. It's going to be really interesting to see how that stacks up, because there's only so much money out there, as you know, and that's what the beauty of the NFL is the fact that there is that cap. You've got to be clever. You've got to figure things out, and you just can't go out there like the Yankees, as an easy example, and go out there and spend for forever to try to get the very best guys on your team. The NFL has a lot more parity because of this, and it's part of the beauty of it. But I'll tell you what, we lose safeties, we lose corners, we lose interior D linemen and edge rusher. The defense is going to be really thin, and I don't know what's going to happen with Harrison Smith. He's been here forever, it feels like, with us. He's a good friend, great, great player. I don't know if he's necessarily Hall of Fame, but maybe. I mean, he's played a long time. He's done a great job, and he's a great player. But does he even want to come back? That's another question.
Right. No, it's a great point, Pete, that they have to do a lot of revamping here. I think there's a good chance that they keep Murphy and Bynum on reasonable contracts. Like, I was looking at comparable deals for them, and I don't think it's unreasonable where they're at. You never know when other teams are going to get desperate for a corner or safety and just offer the guy something crazy. But I think that their relationship with Flores and the kind of, the kids would use the word vibe that they had going on this year, how close-knit that the defense was, makes me think some of these guys will want to come back. They do have Mekhi Blackmon coming back. He tore his ACL last year on the second day of camp or first day of camp. And so he's coming back. They've developed some players. I think that's what it comes down to, Pete, is I think during the Zimmer era, they really just didn't do a very good job of developing young players. And Flores has a chance to do that with some of the guys that they've either drafted or that they've picked up as undrafted free agents. It just has to happen. But I mean, as far as where the franchise is going, I think that this is almost a dream position for them versus what we thought where they would be, where they can hand potentially JJ McCarthy the keys to the car. And the car is a Lamborghini. I mean, you get spend some money in the interior, the offensive line, and you essentially have no weakness other than that outside of the, you know, needing to get a running back.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And the offensive line is where it starts. I mean, it really does. I know I've been hammering that all morning with you, but I just look at the draft and I think to myself, okay, it's great to get the shiny object, but you know what? The guys that really matter most are those guys in the trenches. And it sounds old school, just like you were saying about me earlier about running backs. You've got to have an offensive line. If you take a look and see those quarterbacks that do really well, the guys that don't get sacked 50 times in a game oftentimes, you know, end up having a little bit better season. Not always. Sam had a great season this year with 50 sacks or 56 sacks, I think it finished out to be. But it makes it a heck of a lot tougher. There's no doubt about it. And at some point, that's going to bite you.
When we come back, Pete Najarian's official predictions for who will be playing in the Super Bowl. We shall return. It's always a tough day on Championship Sunday for me, Pete, because the early part of the day, so pumped about the games. And then when they're over, you know, it's essentially 8 hours of football, and it's a draining experience, and so much happens and everything. And then you look around and you go, wait a minute, there's no football next week. And there's only one game left in the whole season. And there's a long time till there's actual football. I was thinking about it today. The next Vikings game that I'm going to cover is in September, which is a really long time from now. So mixed emotions for myself on this day.
Are you not intrigued for the Pro Bowl?
Pete.
I'm just kidding.
He went there.
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while. So on social media, I follow a lot of those old NFL films accounts and stuff old clips and stuff. Every once in a while, they'll show something from a Pro Bowl from 93. You know, Jim Kelly's out there and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was a real game. And they were playing. They were tackling each other. Yeah, guys are getting laid out. And you're like, wait a minute. When did we stop doing that? No, I'm not. What are they doing? Playing video games or something this year?
Like what?
It's just that's just silliness. No, I'm not concerned about that. Pete, who's playing for the Super Bowl? Do you think?
Well, as I said to you earlier, I think that the Chiefs-Bills game, I like the Bills. I think they finally take the Chiefs, and it's been a tough uphill challenge, but they look so good this year. But they've looked good in the past, so you just never know. I mean, the ball bounces in a lot of strange ways because of the football itself, but I just think that Josh Allen, it's their year. They've played amazingly well. They've only slipped up here and there, very small. So I think that they've got a great opportunity in front of them. It's on the road. It's going to be tough, but I think they actually get them this time. As far as the Eagles Commanders, how interesting is it, first of all, that you've got two from the NFC East going up against each other? And who would have ever thought, going back to the draft last year, let's just say, that Jaden Daniels would be arguably maybe one of the best rookie seasons by a quarterback ever.
I know.
They've got a defense that just a year ago was one of the worst defenses. It was the worst defense in the entire NFL. And now they're somewhere in the top five or six in just about every category you can look at. Washington's turnaround has been absolutely amazing, I think, to watch and to see what they're doing. And again, I'll bring up a running back. Brian Robinson's done an amazing job for Washington too. I think Washington has a great opportunity on the road. So I'm looking at these road teams and thinking they have a great shot. Now, the Eagles are outstanding. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is one of the better quarterbacks running and throwing the football. He's great. And then you've got Barkley, who's had an unbelievable season, over 2,000 yards, and playoffs, he plays well. He's been phenomenal. I think it really is an opportunity, though. I think that Washington, with what they've got on offense and the fact that their defense is far better than most of the defenses that the Eagles have been beating up on, I think that Washington's actually got a shot. I'm sure it's a big spread, but I'm going to go with Washington.
Washington is missing a couple of key players that concern me. They're missing their starting guard, who makes $18 million a year, and one of their top defensive tackles. I think Philly is the more talented overall team, but is Jalen Hurts healthy? Because he's such a big part of their running game, and he had a knee injury against the Rams. I am going to lean a little bit toward Philly, though, because I think they just have answers, and Washington is not the best run-defending team without their starting defensive tackle. So I'll go Philly and Buffalo, but it just should be a great day of football, Pete.
Well, if Kenny Pickett's out there, I think Washington walks away.
I definitely agree with that. Pete, always an honor to fill in for Dave Schwartz and talk ball with you. It's been super fun over the last 2 hours. I appreciate you, and have a great day today watching football.
Thanks so much, man. It's going to be great. 70 degrees here, but I'll still be inside watching the games.
Thanks. Of course, you had to say that. Well, hopefully everybody enjoys their football day, and we'll talk to you soon again.